Good morning, listeners. Over the next 5 Sundays in the month of May, we will be examining descriptions of God from the Bible that are not often emphasized in worship. The goal is that by examining these traits of God, we will increase our understanding of Him and thereby enhance our worship. The 5 descriptions of God that we will look at in turn are God as worker, God as mother, God as husband, God as gardener, and God as watchman. Today, the 1st of May, is being celebrated worldwide as May Day or International Workers' Day. It is fitting that we look at God as the worker because He is the first worker and indeed the ultimate worker. In John 5:17, Jesus said of God, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." In this verse, Jesus declares that God, His Father, is always at work to this very day, implying that God has never ceased to work and will continue to work. What then is the work of God? From Scripture, we see the work of God falling into 3 categories, namely His work of creation, His work of substance, and His work of redemption. We will now examine each in turn. Genesis chapter 1 and 2 of the Bible tells us that God created the entire universe in 6 days, declaring that all was good, that there was no higher standard of excellence in creation to be attained. The Bible tells us that He rested on the 7th day. However, God never gets tired or runs out of ideas. We know this because He tells us so Himself. In Psalm 121 verse 4, it declares that He never slumbers or sleeps, meaning that He never gets tired and therefore in need of rest. How then should we understand the statement that God rested? We are to understand rest in this case as God having ceased from His creative work. God had completed His entire work in 6 days, and by day 7 and every day thereafter, there was no creating to be done. Creation had been complete by day 6, and all the elements of the periodic table were now in place, and 6 days of the 29.5-day cycle of the moon around the earth had been completed. By day 6, God had completed creating the physical universe of time and space. We now look at God as sustainer. Another aspect of God's continuing work is that of sustainer of His creation. After creating the universe, God did not become an absent landowner. He did not absent Himself to let the creation continue by itself. Indeed, He has been very much active in sustaining His creation, even from day 1. In Genesis 8, 22, God committed Himself through His promise to man that He would ensure that as long as the earth continues, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. But it is not only in the natural world around us that we see God's sustaining work. We see it most evident in His relation to man. Even though God had warned Adam and Eve that if they disobeyed Him, they would die, He still allowed them to live and even allowed them to fulfill His command to them to replenish the earth by actively assisting in this process. Acts 17:25 helps us to understand this when it states that it is God who gives to everyone life and breath and everything else. So how is God's sustaining work evident? His sustaining work is evidenced in his care of creation, his protection of his children, and in his keeping check on the destructive forces of evil aimed at his creation. Let's look at each of these. As noted already, God has committed himself to the continued natural order of the world. Psalm 135 verses 6 to 7 tells us this: "The Lord does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses." Matthew 10, 29 and 30 challenges those who doubt God's care for them by examining his care of the world around them by asking, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hair of your head are numbered." The continued existence of man on earth, despite man's sin, is evidence of God's sustaining hand. King David understood that God's sustaining hand was in his life even from birth. He affirms this in such passages as Psalm 22, 9 and 10, where he stated, "Yet you brought me out of my mother's womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God." And in Psalm 139, 13, he states, "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." God gives opportunity to us to marvel at his sustaining hand in creation when each day we see the sunrise, when we see a seed that was planted in the field spring forth in new life, or when we hear the cries of a newborn baby. Each of these are reminders that God is actively sustaining his work. We also look at God sustaining through his protection of his children. We know that sometime after God created the world, the devil caused Adam and Eve to sin. Their sin had a negative effect on themselves and on the rest of creation. No longer did they enjoy the pristine, tranquil world that God had created for them to live in, with himself being the source of their existence. They were now thrust into a world that was cursed because of their sin. They were now in a hostile world where they would have to work by the sweat of their brow until they died. But even then, God's protective work for his children was evident because God made garments of skin for Adam and Eve and clothed them to protect them from the elements because they were naked. God's protective work of his children has continued through the ages. Psalm 34, 7 and 9 confirms this when it states, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing." 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3 supports this when it states, "But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." It is because of God's protection over his life that King David could declare confidently in Psalm 23, verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." God's sustaining work is also seen in his restraint of evil. From the very beginning, Satan has been on a mission to destroy God's good work. We see evidence of this when he caused man to sin, which introduced death and decay into God's pristine world. Satan's evil intent has continued through the ages. with special focus on the people God has specially chosen for his own. However, God has kept Satan in check by his spirit, as explained in 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 7 and 8, which tells us that the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till it is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. Indeed, Satan is limited in the reach of his evil plan and can only affect God's chosen as God permits, as we see from the story of Job's suffering. This restraining of the forces of evil will continue until the day when Christ returns to earth, and the devil and all his cohorts will be banished to hell forever, and all evil will be eradicated from the earth. We now examine the third aspect of God's work, which is that of Redeemer. God's work of redemption commenced from the very moment Adam and Eve sinned. Right after the fall, God announced the promise of redemption to mankind and the devil in Genesis 3:15, where God declared that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. We know that the fulfillment of this promise commenced when Jesus defeated the devil on the cross of Calvary and rose from the dead, and will be completed when, according to Revelation 20, death, the devil, and all his demons will be cast into the lake of eternal fire. Also, at the very beginning, after driving man out of the garden, God stationed cherubim and a flashing sword to guard the way to the tree of life, to let it be known that only through the seed of the woman, the promised Messiah or Christ, does man have access to the tree of life, and to not to try to attain it on his own and thereby suffer God's wrath. Those who reject the way of redemption provided through Christ and seek to reach God on their own will indeed suffer God's wrath and will have the same destiny as the devil. God's work of redemption will be completed when his promise to recreate a new heaven and a new earth will be fulfilled. In conclusion, as we anticipate that glorious day, let us worship God as the ultimate worker. The awesome beauty of the world around us testifies to God's creative work and should inspire us to worship him. Let's also worship him for his continued work of sustaining the beauty of the world despite the intent of the darkness of evil to once again envelop the world. And let us rejoice in his work of redemption in history and in our lives as we wait for the day when our redemption will be complete, knowing that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God for the day of redemption. See you next Sunday, God willing. May God's blessing rest on each one of us.